irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Monday, May 8th.
Yes.
Actually. See, I wasn't even prepared for the date, believe it or not. But there you go. I'm a little under the weather this morning, so you guys will forgive me if I sound a little nasally. Mm. But I'll do my best to sound okay and still entertain you to the point where it won't really distract you.
No, I got to be honest. I think of myself as always nasally.
Really?
Oh, very.
Oh, I never noticed that.
I feel like I'm like, ha, like the nanny almost.
Yeah.
But not.
Do you get like stuffy nose sometimes?
Yeah, I get a bad sinus congestion and yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do too. You know, I have like a, what they call a deviated septum. So I've always had a little problem breathing, you know. But
that's always so scary. When my friend showed me what it was like, she closed one of my nostrils and was like, that's what it's like to breathe.
What?
And she was like a deviated
septum. Oh, no, I don't have that.
Oh, she does. She had it real. She had about 90%.
Really?
So she had to have an, yeah.
Oh, no, for me, normally I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
It's just that sometimes, you know.
Nice.
Yeah. But, yeah, there you go. So how are you doing this morning, Tori?
Good. Today is a big day in the news. Very excited. Oh, France, they elected Macron.
Oh, you're getting into the news already. I just want to see how you were doing.
Oh, I was excited.
After the rain and everything.
Oh, I was so, you know where I went? Right. I went to Glendale, and it started raining and thundering and lightning, and it was the best.
Right?
I was out shopping for a dress for, I'm going to a wedding. And I have to go get a dress. And it was lovely. I love the rain.
I know, me too.
Ugh.
Me too. And we don't get enough.
Love
so
it.
We had a little storm here. It rained for exactly 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's
here.
Our storm.
I know, those are our storms. But at least we had some serious rain for a few minutes.
Yeah.
So there you
and
go.
And there's always rainbows at the end because it turns sunny as always right away.
And it got cold, really cold and everything. So that was funny. But they said they were expecting electrical storms, but I didn't really see any. I didn't hear any thunder or anything.
I heard thunder and lightning.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And Glendale is not far from here.
Yeah. It was very, I was like, that was the loudest thunder I've ever heard in LA.
I didn't even hear it. I don't know where I was. But at any rate, I had a good weekend too, you know, otherwise trying to rest a lot. I mean, I got to sleep actually 10 hours for two nights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, because I was sick, you know, I took some medicine and stuff, and I just slept. I didn't really have anything to get up for.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed just sleeping in and stuff.
Yeah, resting.
Yeah. But then I got to tell you, if you have back problems, don't sleep too much, because then
you're a whole mess of problems. Does your back hurt?
My back hurt Saturday.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I know. So I woke up with a cold and my back. I'm like, how wonderful. What a great Saturday. You know?
That sucks.
So I know that was funny, or not so funny at the time, but, you know, I don't know. I guess you figure it's better than if you did have to do something.
Yeah, you had nothing
you
to do.
Like that,
just sit back,
know?
Netflix.
Right.
Yeah.
Not really. I still go out, but, you know, find things to do. I can't sit at home. You know, I wish I could, but I realize I can't sit down with the TV unless I have popcorn. And I've been staying away from the popcorn, not to eat too much and gain weight because I like buttery popcorn. So every time I sit and watch a movie, that means popcorn bag. So I haven't bought any, which means I don't watch TV now.
You know?
I'm telling you, I don't know what happened to me. I never used to be this, like, restless.
Everything's coming
Maybe
at you
I
shorter.
Was. Yeah.
Everything's coming at you shorter. The thing is to have to concentrate. Like, I realized when I was doing a 30-minute workout, at minute 22, I was like, I'm so bored.
Really?
And I was like, whoa, hold on. That was never the case before. Like, I could do 45 minutes like that. Come on. And it wasn't like bored. I was like going to die because I was out of breath. And this was specifically like, I'm so bored. I'm like, I'm losing my concentration too.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
It's shortening and shortening until like 2 minutes go by. I'm like, what's happening? What are we doing?
Now, what happens when you do a workout? What if you put the TV on?
That's what I do.
You do?
Yeah.
You focus on that?
Yeah.
Side? And it still doesn't
work. Now I'm outing myself. I'm like, there's radio on.
No, that's okay. I mean, but the thing is that it's...
I put the TV on and I try to watch like a compelling Dateline or something where you're in the story so that the workout goes really quickly.
Right.
And I mean, I was still really bored.
I know,
22, I'm like, jumping jacks.
I know. And then you ask yourself, so what's the big deal in being bored for 10 minutes, you know? But it's hard,
right? And
when you're used to stimulation all the time.
Oh my God. I was yesterday, I was going to bed and I realized... realize that when I watch TV now, I can't just watch it. A phone has to also be on.
Yeah.
So I can't just do... Like, my husband and I can't just curl up and watch a movie because one of us will be on the television.
Yeah. Huh?
I mean, one of us will be on the phone at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So cool. But how's your workout been going? I mean, are you happy with the results?
Very happy.
Really?
Looking good.
How long has it been going?
14 days. 14 days. And I don't do a scale because that shit messes up with my head.
That does, right?
Yeah. Some people are fine with it. Not me.
No, you don't need the scale. It's just a question of, do you feel better?
Yeah, and do your clothes fit better? Do my Instagram pictures look thinner?
You notice that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think there's really that big a difference?
And then my guns are looking way better.
Ah.
Great guns. Good arms.
Ah.
I'm getting a lot of arm emojis saying how good my arms look. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's really Instagram that'll tell you if you're looking good. That or Facebook. Literally.
Right. It's like a mirror, right?
Yeah, literally. It's like, yeah. And there's a Black Mirror episode about it where... but people are like, need to get approval to be able to like get gas.
Wow.
So it's like now you need likes to be able to like get money and stuff. It's interesting.
Because
it's like, you know, now it's just validation.
Yeah,
soon
right?
It was like becomes like a currency.
I know. I think for some people it is currency, you know?
I know.
I mean, they live and die by their likes and followers.
And I remember once you had a guest here and you were leaving the room to get us water. And she said to me, I said, God, I love Instagram likes just for the validation. And she goes, yeah, but what else do you get out of it? What monetarily do you get out of it? What happiness do you get? What? And I was like, oh, nothing.
But it doesn't have to be monetary. If you're happy with it,
yeah,
then it's okay. But if you're not, but if you're obsessed over it,
right,
that's something else.
It does get to you that where it's a dopamine effect, where it's like, bing, another like, bing, another
right,
like, bing,
like
another like.
Like being accepted or something,
but,
right?
Like, yeah,
being
but it's
liked.
Like, but that bing is a circuit that you find on people obsessed with gambling and slots. Because what it is a flash of a light. It literally says one like. You can see someone written it, and it becomes like an addiction.
Right.
So it's
right,
not only validation; it becomes like a drug because that dopamine only happens when you get another like.
Right. Wow.
I know. Way to
I
take
know,
it down.
I know. But what do people with 10 million likes do? I mean, they don't care, you know, if there's another one or two. Maybe they do, huh?
No, but like, for instance...
did you notice they stop really counting them after you reach like a million or something? Or even a few thousand, maybe 100,000? Then they don't count them like one by one.
They do still. It's crazy.
Right.
Like Bieber will say like 1,111,000 likes.
No, but Facebook doesn't count it like that. I don't know. Maybe he sees it like that. But it'll just say 10... M or something. Or
I see. Oh, yes. Yeah, they'll round it. Yeah.
Right. For us, we're counting them one by one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for our life.
14.
Yeah, I know.
Woohoo.
What the hell is that?
Well, I'm close to my 5,000 friendship on Facebook, and you can only have 5,000 friends.
Yeah.
I don't know. 4,000 of these people.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
me too.
But that's what I'm doing in my life.
I don't know
what
to start... deleting them.
I know.
You know, but I figure, look, they provide content, so whatever.
And also, that's why I joined this industry. It's like to meet strangers and to entertain strangers. So that's the point, but I'm like, who are these people?
Yeah, right? I know. You read their posts for years, you don't even know who they are.
That's right.
Wow. I stopped posting a lot. I used to post a lot about different things, but after a little thing, do you remember we had the little scandal here with Susan and all that? Okay. So ever since then, you know, people going into my, I figured people are going to go to my profile, start digging out shit and stuff, you know? So I'm just not, you know, I'm just doing like general things.
Yeah.
I used to post all the time. People would say, whoa, what great posts you have and stuff. But I'm like, yeah, you know, but it's like, I'm leaving more and more, giving up more and more of my privacy every time I post something.
And like I know that. This is not the, this will probably be the last time I ever say the sentence to you, but you and Kim Kardashian have this in common. When she had the robbery, she was like, what am I doing? I'm opening myself up. And she just went blackout.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm just opening myself up to complete. So she doesn't
That's
post.
That's true,
she's
right?
Very,
but she doesn't have a choice. She's a celebrity.
Not anymore. She'll post probably once a month and it's a picture of her and her kid and that's it.
Yeah.
It used to be constant and it used to be all the time, and she was like, what am I doing?
You see, it scares you. Once
she
you
says
get a
it's
slap
scary.
In the
That's
face.
Right. Once you have one scandal or one thing, she was like, what am I doing?
Right.
She says, I'm meat out for people to like devour.
Yeah.
And for her, it's true. She'll get like whatever she says, it's tens of millions.
Right. I know.
Crazy.
You know, and my pictures have been used twice that I know of.
I know. You know that means they've been.
What they call it? Catfishing?
Yeah, catfishing for
right.
online dating. And you know that means there's 10 more of that people
probably,
using your
right?
face. Yeah.
Wow.
And like probably that's saying scary. I mean, it's terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. So I made it private and the hell with that. Yeah. You know, people ask me to friend them. If I think might be interesting, I will.
Sure.
Other than that, I don't care that I'm in the public eye now. I don't need all these friends, you know. It was funny because, I mean, the way most people got the 5,000 friends and, you know, is because at the beginning of Facebook, people were racing for friends. It was unbelievable.
Remember, you get like,
there were no like fan pages yet right. in the beginning. So everybody rushed to have more and more. And that's how it happened. And I remember a few years ago, everybody's like, oh, I'm out of, I'm full of friends now, you know. Go on my fan page or right. something, you know?
You're like, who are you? You're my plumber. Yeah, why right? do you have a fan page?
And it used to be called a fan page. Today it's not. Yeah. It's just like a page or yeah. something, right? Because it's not fans, it's followers or likes now.
Yeah, it's like I have to be a public figure. Yeah,
No. I mean, anybody. Like, if you open like a page, like the station, for example, mm-hmm. or you open up a professional page for you, okay? Those used to be called fans. Now they're just likes.
Yeah.
You know? So Facebook changed the terms.
Yeah.
But at any rate,
they cray cray.
I know, but I mean, I love Facebook. You know, I don't know that I could live without it. You know.
Yeah, Facebook does give me a lot of the news.
Right?
It does help me a lot when I'm feeling down. I wrote a really cool post being like, "What's the best career advice you've ever been given?" Just to hear some different things.
Yeah, what did you get?
I got some really interesting ones. A lot about keeping your pants on, which was like, "Don't go to work without pants." And I was like, "Okay, thanks a lot."
Yeah, very helpful.
Very good. A lot of it was like power through. A lot of it was like get rich early and then do whatever you want. I'm like, that's not really helpful. Like, how do you do that? but it was really interesting to see everyone's take. And people, you know, Facebook is a way to have communication. And speaking of Trump in the only way possible, nicely that I can,
is that possible?
I really can. He has found a way uh-huh. to speak to millions of his own constituents without an intermediary as the press. And you know what? He did that through social media, and he was the first one to do it, and he's done it masterfully. He's a real dope, and he looks like an orangutan, and I hate him. But at the same time, he found a loophole to speak to his voters in a way that no one else did, and he did it beautifully, and he's still doing it. I mean, he tweeted last night about Sally Yates is going to testify this morning. So he was like, ask Sally about this. Like, he found a way to get through to his base.
That's true.
Through Twitter.
You're right.
So that I know.
Even though it's all stupid, but yeah.
It's stupid, but it's brilliant. But brilliant.
No, I mean, the stuff he says is stupid. You know?
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's just awful. And you saw the Martha Stewart famous picture in the art gallery standing next to there. In a corner was a big portrait of Donald Trump. And then next to it, kitty corner, was Snoop Dogg, who, you know, uh-huh. she has a show with. And she's given Donald Trump the finger and given the peace sign to Snoop Dogg. The best.
Wow. So, cool. See, I'm getting distracted now, but people text me during the show. Anyway, let me tease our guest who's going to call in just a moment. We're going to be talking to Pamela Horton, and she's doing a lot of different things. You know, I looked her up and researched a little bit, and she's amazing. She's all over the place. So we like people that are ambitious and do a lot of great things.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of those fidget spinners yet?
Yes.
Have you seen them?
Yes.
You see kids with them?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's ruining teachers' lives.
Is it really?
Yes.
Why?
They can be used as weapons. They're dangerous, and kids are just constantly dealing with them.
Are they made of metal? They
yep.
are, right?
They're hard metal.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And they're dangerous, and they're supposed to help. They're supposed to help with fidgeters, and now it's become like a Pokemon thing where like everyone's obsessed with them, so
right.
now you can't get them away from them.
And did you know that they were actually used by ADHD people,
right?
Where they have a need for constant stimulation,
right?
So,
but it's become like every kid wants one, and I mean,
yeah, you know, so it's not like that anymore.
Yeah,
and it's funny because little kids are asking for them now.
Yeah, and people are doing like special like tricks with them now, and I'm like, oh geez,
right?
But this will be gone in like 2.5 seconds. Like, no one will remember spinners in 2.5 seconds.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Yeah, they do that a lot, and kids go through things like that.
They do.
Yeah,
they do. I mean, it was all the razor scooters and
everyone has their one, like who they grew up with,
right.
Like, yeah, exactly.
And then it goes away, right?
What did I have? Those pogs? Does anyone what are those things called?
Oh, they, that you jump on?
No, and that's a pogo stick. This
oh
one
pogo
was a,
stick. Sorry.
Yeah, mine was that's like a stupid circle and people would trade it. And I was like, guys, I remember being in fourth grade. People were obsessed with this at my school. And
a circle?
Yeah, they're, I think they're like called Pogs or something.
Okay.
And they had, it was like trading cards. They're all basically all baseball trading cards in different forms.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, this is so stupid.
Yeah, huh?
But kids go crazy for those things.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Did you ever collect any cards?
I mean, I kind of wanted to impress a boy, so I collected baseball cards, but that was it. But yeah, not really.
You weren't really into it, huh?
No, but yeah, kids love that. Yeah.
I know.
You know what? I collected oily stickers. And if you don't know what that is and you're not a girl, it's a sticker that you put on, and I guess guys could like it too. That's super sexist of me. But you rub the sticker, like it's a unicorn, and it's like black and green. When you rub it, it like moves like oil. I had really? Books and books of these oily stickers.
Whoa. That's yeah. interesting.
So that was just as lame. So I don't know what I'm judging for. Just as lame as the fidget spinners. But yeah, wow. Everyone has a thing. You know, they grew up with a trend or a fad.
I know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's our guest calling in just right on time. We're going to be talking to Pamela. Pamela, are you with us?
I am. Hello.
Good morning, Pamela Hello. Horton. Thank you for joining us. I saw you called at the top of the show, but I thought, oh, she's eager to talk to us. But we'll start the show first, and then we'll talk to you. So thank you for joining us this morning, Pamela. Where are you calling
Thank
us
you for
from?
Having me.
Sure. Where in the country do you live?
I am in Florida, Southwest Florida. Mm.
Ah,
on the West
nice.
Coast.
What, does it have a name, the town?
Sarasota. Yes,
oh, Sarasota. I've heard of it. Yeah. I didn't know exactly where it was, but okay. I mean, I knew it was in Florida, but not Southwest. Okay, so cool. Is that where you lived most of your life?
No, I actually grew up in Connecticut, lived there up until 3 years ago, and then my family and I decided that we wanted to live in warmer climates. So we checked the area out and fell in love with it and moved down. We were very fortunate. We actually went back to Connecticut and we were able to sell our home in one day.
Whoa. How did you pick? This is what I want to do. Sometimes I'm like, I think, what if I want to move? How did y'all do that? Did y'all throw a dart? How did you start with, like, I'm going to Florida? Did you know it was going to be Florida at least?
No, well, we actually wanted, we were originally thinking of places like Costa Rica or Panama, but we wanted to stay in the States because our daughter was still a minor at that time. And with the healthcare and things of that nature, we said, okay, let's stay in the United States for a little while longer. But we did want that subtropical environment. So Florida was definitely in the running, but we also liked the idea of Texas too. And so we didn't even get to Texas to check it out. We literally, it wasn't about throwing a dart, but we might as well have, Tori, that you mentioned it, because we just came down for a visit randomly, chose the area based off of a conversation. Someone said that the area was beautiful and stayed here for 4 or 5 days and just really, we didn't take it as a vacation. We really scouted the area out and wow. just fell in love with the people
wow.
and the environment, the water. We're right on the Gulf of Mexico.
Ugh, how God. Cool is that? Yeah, Jeez. There you go. If you gave me the choice between Texas and Florida, I'd take Florida too.
I would too, and yeah, I would too. Only because there it's a dry heat,
right.
isn't it?
Oh well,
no,
it's not
humid
really.
in Texas too. That's
at
true.
At least in Miami, I know it's
yeah,
very
but
humid.
Florida has a nice little. Oh, it's feeling hot.
Right,
you know,
right. And you got the ocean.
Yeah.
Texas, only part of it really has the ocean.
Yeah, that's true.
Know?
That's a better thing to say. Yeah,
that's true.
That's good.
But if you love the water, sounds good to me. So you've been able to run your business and your career and stuff from Sarasota too. Obviously, today you don't need to be in one physical place in order to get your message out. So, Pamela, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do. I mean, I'm looking at your stuff, and you're like Chief Enhancement Officer. I mean, this is the first time I've ever heard of that, but it sounds fascinating. So tell us what that means and what officer you are. I mean, what company, what organization?
Thank you. Yeah. So my husband and I, we founded a company called Mavens Connections. And together with our team, we customize and offer enhancement benefits. They're also known as non-traditional voluntary benefits, but we're a little bit different. We do coordinate wellness and mindset benefit resources for employers. And we really are mostly about financial wellness, physical well-being, spiritual well-being, mindfulness. We also do a little bit of executive coaching and organizational development within companies.
That's amazing.
If I could just elaborate for a second, the non-traditional voluntary benefits that I mentioned, you guys, are more like auto and home insurance at a discount or offering gym memberships at a discount. We actually don't go with the physical attribute. We really want to help folks change behavior from the inside out and really help them change their habits.
I mean, how did you come up with this idea? Because as soon as you said and I researched and I looked you up, I was like, well, how come we haven't had this forever? Because it seems like the greatest idea ever. How did you come up with the idea that this was missing?
Thank you. So my career started as a social worker over 20 years ago, and I would work with adolescents and families and really focused on the dynamics of an individual and within a family and the community. And over the years, you know, as we all do, we have these seasons in life that are pretty stressful. And I had my bout of stress early on, and I would go to work every single day, and I would have to pick myself up from the stress that I was in, that was going on at home. And luckily, I've always been a very positive individual. I've always been able to change my mindset and move forward. But I would notice the pain that people would be in and how that would affect their performance, how that would affect their productivity at work. And then their health would actually decline as a result of the stress. And so I went back into working with companies to try to offset that. And right now, the way that voluntary benefits or enhancement benefits are set up are things like, so, you know, like let's say a wellness financial officer will come in and will teach people how to save money or where to put their money, but they don't teach the mindset. Not everyone knows how to be wealthy. And what I mean by that is, if someone who is working a regular job and wins the lottery, millions of dollars, within a few years, you can find story after story that those people will lose the money after a period of time because they actually don't know how to be wealthy. They have not rewired their brain to continue to have their money work for them or for them to keep their money. Or if someone wants to lose weight, for example, they haven't been rewiring their brain to be able to do that, to change the habit, because first we make our habits and then our habits make us. And I always was really fortunate to be able to do that for myself. I'm a very disciplined individual, but others, and I do need help as well. We need extra support. And so I started to bring this mindset type of work into the company to supplement the existing voluntary benefits.
Wow.
Very interesting. So this is like a holistic approach. I mean, you look about the spiritual side and all that as well. Very innovative.
You see this with schools a lot of these times. It's just starting, but you see, like, it's making me think of the Detroit schools that instead of detention, they spend those hours teaching meditation so that you're actually, like, doing something that actually helps so that you can learn to then change behaviors. It's sort of similar to that.
It truly is. That's a great example, you guys. There's a paradigm shift taking place where employers and employees together are addressing the growing concerns of poor health or lack of engagement within a company, low productivity, even rising costs, you know, healthcare costs. And until we can help them, the individuals, the employees of a company, understand the root cause of their stress or their health-related concerns, then nothing really changes. It's kind of like, the lottery example, or if someone were to go on the Biggest Loser show and they change their habits, but once they're out of that environment, they go back to what's familiar to them.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Absolutely. That makes sense. Now, Pamela, I'm reading here about the Access Freedom Method that you have developed. You want to tell us a little bit about that? Because this sounds fascinating to me. I mean, you don't see many people that deal with this. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's, you know, I have a mentor. Her name is actually Marissa Peer, and she once said that when she was in school to become a psychologist, and I learned this as well as a social worker, you know, people, therapists really promote or actually advocate that it takes years to work through family dynamics or years to learn how to communicate or rewire your brain. And that's just a belief that I don't subscribe to. And so with the Access Freedom course and the method that I've developed, it helps me, again, help others identify the root cause of what holds them back. Right. So for example, if a woman, here's a case study for you. She could make money. She had a great living, but she could, at the end of every month, she didn't have enough money. Mm-hmm. And when we took her back in this case study, she identified the root cause of her unable to keep money or good health or even relationships was because when she was little, everything that she owned, when she would visit back her family, her mom would make her give her items, her clothing, her toys to her cousins who were less than fortunate than her. Mm. So over the years, she learned to not really just either care about items or even collect things and or to give them away. And she learned that she was worth less than others. And so when I help people find the root cause of their behavioral patterns, they are able to become self-fully expressed, and then they begin to perform at their peak.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now there's a story where you show us an example of parents that actually try to help, but then it screws up the kid later, right? I mean, my God, you know, that's what our parents do to
us.
That's
actually really true. Yeah. But what's funny is, like, that's, and I think things are passed down from your parents without even knowing. Like, my mom has a disease, and I always grew up very sensitive and empathic to people with illnesses. And I'm very comfortable in hospitals, and I'm very relaxed. My husband faints the second he walks into a hospital.
Right?
So it was like, when my mom was in the hospital, in the ICU for like a month, you know, this kid had to, my husband was like, all right, now I have not only go into the hospital, I got to wear the biohazard thing.
Oh, good.
I got to wear the goggles and the thing and the gloves. She didn't know who we were at the time. And he was like, and I got to do this. And at some point, like, those changes either force you to do it, or, and you adapt, or you don't. But it's like, he grew up not living in those hospitals. So
right.
It's just, it's interesting how that treats you differently in life.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, we come into this world, sorry, Sam, we come into this world, I like to say, born extraordinary, and we're learned and we are taught how to be ordinary. And so we come in without any beliefs, without any hang-ups, without anything other than experiences. You know, as babies, we learn to walk, we start eating our food, and then the adults that are in our lives, from our parents to our caregivers, teachers, etc., who have grown over the years, they've learned to acquire other people's fears and habits, which they we then inherit as their children. And over the years, it's up to us to find out the why and begin to navigate that, and so that we can live a freer life, to actually become free and fully self-expressed.
Yeah, my mom's almost 70. I think she'll be fine with me saying that. She probably won't be, and I'll hear about it later. But she's the one who has always been ill, and she's never been in therapy ever. But after this last illness, we all convinced her that maybe she should go, because it was a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
So she went in to see someone, and now she's dealing with stuff with her friends and her work and her volunteer activities, and she's trying to change her life, and she's 70.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so cool that, like, it doesn't matter. And she was like, well, I guess I'm this, and I gotta change it. So it's true, you can always work, but it's interesting that you never think of employment as a place where you can change your mind. You think of it outside of employment, and you're sort of putting them together.
Well, we spend most of our time outside of our family in our homes. We spend most of our time with people that we work with.
Yeah.
And it makes sense to be able to offer these services and build it in the day where it's fast and it's easy. You know, we do everything virtually, some in-house, meaning live presentations and things of that nature, but we really try to make it as easy as possible for both the employer and the employee, so that they can, as a captive audience, you know, as a group, as a team, it could be departments or it could be the entire company, it really just makes more sense. We are under so much stress, whether it's culturally induced or self-induced, to be able to address it in the environment where we spend the most time.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's counterintuitive, because what ends up happening is the company and the employee ends up benefiting as the end result in a short period of time. So morale increases, happiness increases, we become positively primed to do better work. And of course, the bottom line, meaning the profits increase as well.
That's so interesting, because at my work, where I used to work at Salt and Straw, which is this really great ice cream company, and I would help come up with flavors, they had a chief enhancement officer. And I was like, well, what the heck is this?
Yeah, exactly.
And the amount of things that if someone wasn't feeling well, my friend was having kind of an anxiety attack at work. I remember this so clearly. And instead of freaking out and being like, oh, my God, they said, why don't you go on a neighborhood walk? And they had him do chores, because Buddhism, which is interesting that I'm studying, teaches that once you can get your mind into a flow doing chores, it can help you take your mind off, until he was done, at least with his shift.
Oh.
And so he didn't have to deal with customers. We just kept him busy, being like, because I was help training, I was like, why don't you take the trashes out and then do this? And they were like, keep him away, but keep him busy. And I was like, man, usually you just be like, you should go home. Like, instead of that feeling, it was like, how can I support this individual? You know what I mean?
Absolutely, and thereby developing a community, increasing the employee engagement. It, when you have a fully engaged employee and they know that, you know, gone are the days, which I'm hoping they do return to some level. When our parents, I'm not sure of your ages, I'll be 47 next Saturday. And
happy birthday, girl! When I,
oh, she's a Taurus like
yes,
me.
Yes, there you go.
Congratulations. Go on.
Thank you. Thank you. So when we were growing up, or, you know, I think when I was in my early 20s, that's when we started to see this shift of there was no more loyalty from the company side, where the company used to, companies used to be more loyal to their employees. And now the last 20 years or so, it was really more the employees being more loyal to the company. And now I'm with hope it's going to be equal, right? So 88% of executives and 85% of benefit managers agree that benefit programs like really have the most impact on improving employee loyalty and increasing employee engagement. But what also happens is when the investment is done by on the employer's side, it just fosters this true,
yeah,
bona fide, yeah, heartwarming community.
It really is,
yeah,
true.
They feel that they go, I guess the employees would feel like the employer is going beyond what is expected, and therefore take it as a, you know, as a gesture, as a positive gesture.
And like I remember too, they had 3 month paid maternity leave, but it was also paternity leave, or if you adopted a child. And I was like, little things like that, yeah, make me want to always stay in this company because you are, yeah, thinking. And then they offered health insurance after 60 days. Wow. And I'm like, this is what it's like. You know what I mean? This is what a company, yeah, does when you, I won't leave that company now. I'll stand up for that company. I'll be a consumer of that company. I'll advocate that company.
Right. You'll be an evangelist for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. And you got to go beyond. Well, sounds interesting, yeah, Pamela. So let me ask you this. How can people find out more information about you, about the company, and get involved with you in this?
Thank you. Yes. So there's actually a couple of places. Number one, our website, mavensconnections.com. And that's M as in Mary, A, V as in Victor, E, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, connections, plural.com. And or they can find me on LinkedIn, and my first name is spelled with two L's, so Pamella Horton, as in Horton Hears a Who.
Yeah, Horton Hears a Who. That's what I thought of. Right.
There you go. And if you, all you have to do is Google her, and you'll find everything because it's a unique spelling, and I noticed that you come up. Google tries to correct the spelling. I'm like, no. It's Pamela with two L's.
And that L, that extra L is for lovely. It's for lovely.
Ah, thank you. Interesting, you guys. The reason I actually was, my birth certificate is with one L. Last year, I actually added an L because I was learning that when people were Googling me, they were confusing me. I don't know if I should be blessed or feel cursed with this, but I did feel it enough to put the extra L. Apparently, there's a Playboy woman model with the same name as me, and I would be getting emails for her, and I'm like, all right, I need to do something differently here.
That is so funny. I think my husband has someone who's also like a porn actor, where he's like, if his name is very similar, and I'm like, just make sure you're Googling the right person.
Right. But you see, Pamela, I mean, you have a marketing-minded thinking, and you did something to stand out, and I think that's the most
important thing. That's very smart, yeah.
Is to be able to stand out, make yourself easy for people to find. And obviously, Pamela, you got a great message here, a great program. So we really appreciate this. Also, you've got a podcast. Let's give you a plug there. Where can people find that?
Thank you. You guys are awesome. The name of the podcast is called Calling the Real You. There's no spaces in between that. It's all one long word. And we go through the day with many, many masks that we wear, and the show really highlights experts that come on board talking about what makes their methods or their programs unique, introducing people to different modalities and methods to help them become even more authentic, whether it's at home or in the business place, to become even happier and healthier in every aspect of their day. And it's about calling the real you, the essence of who you are, that is just goodness versus what we try to be in front of other people or feeling less than others.
Mm, yeah. Absolutely.
I'll listen to that.
Yeah, I know. Finally,
thank
I just
you.
Wanted to say that look how Google does things. I mean, look, we're looking for Pamela with two L's, right? And this particular Pamela Horton, and they keep offering the porn star first or the Playboy.
But
Miss,
that's not
Miss
be-
October. And but what I'm saying is, look, but our Pamela, the column, the real you, is like down on the page, you know? It makes no sense.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. And I know, I'm sure, like, there is a good thing about, this is a good story to tell. It's funny. I'm not the Miss October. I'm the one, the other one. I think right. That's funny. I love that story.
No, no, that's true. You know? But you gotta, Google has to do it by relevance.
Yeah.
And they usually do a very good job. But here, they did a terrible job because they think we're looking for the Playboy bunny.
Well,
but at any rate, I think this was more fun, Pamela.
Yes.
So, listen, and where can people find your podcast?
Oh, yes. I'm calling The Real You.
Okay.
All one word, you said?
All one word, yes. Okay. And actually, you know what? You just stumped me. I was going to say .com, but that's not it. Hold on one second. I'll tell you.
No, it's okay. Yeah. Look, people will Google it. It's just right there. Even if they Google your name.
Yeah, even call your podcast and it'll come up. No. Yes,
right,
perfect.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And even if you just put in Pamela Horton, there's calling the real you .com. It says, I don't know. So there you go. But at any rate, Pamela, thank you so much for joining us
this
morning. You're always welcome back on the show. A lot of inspiring stuff, and we truly appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
My pleasure, you guys. I really appreciate you, too. Take care and have a great rest of your day, everyone.
You're too.
Wonderful. Thank you. And here's to all the Tauruses in the world that start new things from nothing.
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. Thank you.
Bye, Pamela.
Bye-bye, guys.
So, yeah, so there
She's
you
so
go.
She's so cute.
Yeah, I know.
That's
I
a
know.
Great idea. I think people should think, you are in the workplace so much that you'd think that they would then think, perhaps we should have a coach or someone that could help you get to be a better person.
Right.
No, and it's like a novel idea.
Yeah, I know. So they don't teach us anything at school, man.
Yeah, or even at the workplace. You have a lot of time to have someone help. You know, let's say you had someone to help you with your taxes or someone to help with child serve. Like, just, that's a smart idea.
But why don't they teach us that, like, in high school?
Hey, honey, I agree with you. I've always said there's no parallelogram season. There's a tax season. So why are we learning about...
There's room for geometry and shit, you know?
It's so mad.
I mean, there's room for that. But maybe if you go later to college and you specialize in
something. Like, I get it. If you're an engineer, I'm like, crap talking on math. And I totally get it. But give me an option. To be like, do you need to just like be a fairy in a Shakespeare play the rest of your life? I'll go that route.
Right.
I'll be skipping down that route. If you want to do math, go this route.
Exactly. You know, and why don't they teach people how to make love, how to have an orgasm, you know? These are practical things.
See, in our school, we had very good sex ed.
Really?
And I remember our teacher taught us that a sneeze is like an orgasm. And we were in sixth grade, and for the rest of until 12th grade, my classmates would, anytime anyone would sneeze, we'd be like, baby.
Whoa.
But she was like, that's, and I remember being like, what? Like, what? But she,
they even explained the orgasm to
you? Yeah, we were very,
sixth grade?
Oh, yeah. Very, very educated about the human body and about what it was like. And we were just an open school.
That's
about
true.
That.
You were like 12, 13. Right
it was
time.
Right when we needed that's it. Because everyone's like, I'm having some weird feelings.
I know. Man, by then I was reading some serious erotica by 13. Are you kidding me?
Serious erotica.
Yeah, I mean, I was like curious from age zero.
But it's nice to have someone come in and actually talk to you about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I look forward to sex ed, and they didn't really do much of it, so I went to the library. And
you have to learn about yourself.
From the street.
That's
right. From your friends.
So I always say my parents were always open about teaching. I mean, not in a weird way. They were just like, here, do you have any questions? You let us know. Like... It makes it a beautiful thing instead of like a, oh my God, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to tell you, I picked up a book yesterday. I went to the bookstore and I picked up two things. The guy's like, these are totally unrelated to each other. I don't know why I even commented on the book. They never do. They never comment on what book you're getting because maybe you'll be embarrassed. Maybe.
Oh, you mean when you're checking out?
When you're checking out.
Yes.
When you're paying for the
book. I'm always getting self-help books. I'm like, please don't look at these.
Right,
very
exactly.
Closely.
And don't say it out loud either, you know? So
can we get a check on how mylifesucks.com or
right,
something? Yeah,
you know? So, but this guy was like, he was like the before I paid, I was walking around and there's this guy talking real loud and you can tell he's a guy that's working there. Mm-hmm. He's approaching people, so you're finding everything you need. He starts having conversations with them and he's really loud. I'm like, so that this sucks. Guy works here is extremely ADD or something. He's extremely hyper, let's say, not ADD. He's very hyper, sociable, wants to talk to people, but
you want to look for your book. Yeah,
you're distracting everybody and then leave me alone about the book. But he didn't do it to me, so that was a good thing. But anyway, so that's the guy that was at the register when I went, checked out. So he's like, these things are totally unrelated. And because I got one thing that, a little book that says the 10 greatest things that in Judaism, okay, or the Judaism offers, okay, something like that. And then I was standing in line. I saw Mad Magazine, so I picked that one up. He's like, "Yeah, those are two different things."
That
I said,
so
"Yeah,
funny.
It shows you how I love different things." You know,
yeah, but Judaism's very funny. Humor, yeah. Sense of humor comes from it.
That's true.
Very true.
But I gotta tell
That's
you, man.
Funny,
sometimes you gotta read these things because I forget. You know, I forget. First of all, my belief in God has never wavered.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up Jewish, not religious, but in Israel, it's pretty, things are pretty religious in a way, even for secular people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to keep the rituals, but they teach you those things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I grew up with that, and then you kind of forget, you know, you become like cerebral more, you start thinking more logically and stuff, and you go, yeah, you know, maybe it's like the rest of the religions and all that, but you know what? It really isn't. You know, and if you sat down and really read a little bit about Judaism, you'd see how much it's about love and about, you know, I mean, they're saying, what's the Torah? Like, they asked the rabbi or sage, like, what's the Torah in one sentence? And he says, love thy neighbor as you love yourself, you know? And then the other one, like, don't treat people the way you would want them to treat you. Yeah, the golden rule.
The golden rule.
The golden rule.
The golden rule.
So in essence,
do unto others.
That's he says, and the rest of the Torah is commentary on that, which is amazing. You know. So and another thing he says, it's not about that we're here. We're not here for love as much as we're here for joy. You know, in this planet, and that's what God gave us, the joy. And it's actually, you know, when in Hebrew, when you talk about events like weddings, bris, bar mitzvahs and stuff, you talk about joys. That's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
We'll meet you only at joys, you know, which means joyful times.
Mm-hmm.
But amazing stuff, or how man is in the image of God and stuff. If you really start to think about it, then you go, there's nothing, it's a unique religion. There's no, like, I don't know, man. It's like a long conversation, but all it does to me is remind me who I am, you
That's
know?
That's great.
And I'm very proud to be Jewish.
That's
I really
wonderful.
Am, you know, because the heritage is, like, incomparable to anything. I mean, and I just ordered the book, The Story of Hebrew, which I want to find out about the language, how it stayed.
You're
kind of
having a little renaissance on this.
I am, because, you know, and because it's a language that's been preserved for thousands of years, and nothing else has been like that. You know what I'm saying? The same with the Jewish people. They've been through so many persecutions and slavery and everything, and they're pretty much, they've survived all of this, you know? So something's going on, you know. I mean, historians have said that the story of the survival of the Jews is a mystery, you know. And that's who said that? One of the most famous historians. So, I'm proud.
Good
I'm
for
proud, you.
You
know. And the thing is, it doesn't matter how you practice it. You can practice it as little or as much as you want. But the bottom line is, you got to know who you are, no matter what religion you are.
Yeah.
You know, but Yeah, I'm for one, like I said, I'm happy I was born a Jew, you know.
That's
but,
good.
But the thing is, it's not an easy thing, you know. When they say, I think sometimes they hate Jews because they consider themselves the chosen people or something. Which I don't think it's the Jews that consider themselves that. It's the other people that say, oh, the Jews are like the chosen people. So the thing is that I'm saying, they're chosen to suffer. That's what we're chosen to do. I don't know more people that have suffered over the centuries, over a millennia, than the Jews. Everybody wants to kill them. I mean, did you see those videos now by Hamas? Like those vile Jews, those pigs, you know, we gotta. And this is now. This is now. It's not history. It's not medieval history. So it never ends.
No, we're a warring people.
Yeah.
That's very true.
I mean, and we were. I believe that we were destined to survive all these hardships. Mm. I mean, you know, for people to survive the Holocaust and the pogroms in whatever they call them in Russia and Eastern Europe, where they would murder Jews by the tens of thousands. So.
There you go.
Am I boring the shit out
no,
of you?
No, I'm like fascinated. No, you're not. No, I think there's a lot of ethnic groups. Like I often think of the African Americans and going through slavery and going through all that. And it's like a lot of ethnic groups that have gone through all this and then survive. You're like, oh my God, this is just an incredible resilience.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think there was some almighty involved here in some way. I don't know. But you remember how we talked with the atheists and stuff about...
Yeah.
You know, and we said, yeah, it's all like one cosmic dust that became this, right? Do you subscribe to that? I mean, what do you think? Do you think there's an intelligence beyond what we have today, the universe?
I don't know. I really don't know. We've
no,
talked
but
about
what
this.
Do you believe?
I don't know.
No, really you don't know. What do you believe, though?
I don't.
You can't know.
I don't.
Belief is about not knowing, but believing.
I know, and assuming. I don't know. I really don't know.
Because you're afraid to say it.
No, because I've gone back and forth with belief, I guess,
right.
is what
so
I'm saying.
So where are you right now?
I'm not sure. I'm really in... Okay. What I feel is, you know, if the Big Bang... Where did the Big Bang come from? Like, where did the stuff from the Big Bang come from? You
right.
know, when you go all the way back to the Big Bang, there's a lot of questions, and I know a lot of scientists, and they say it's all there's no God. And then I hear scientists, like when we had Robert on, he was like, it's too intrinsic to think that nothing was more intelligently designed by this.
Right.
I don't know. I'm
just thinking about, you know, how complex human beings are. You know,
yeah.
I'm not even going into the cosmos and everything, but think how complex we are, you know, with emotions and the creativity that we have, the
yeah.
ability to feel.
But then
know.
You look at like certain like, and this is only playing devil's advocate. I'm not saying I believe this, but like you look at like strict scientific evolutionary things and you're like, okay, well that came from empathy and groups of animals and then it evolved and then it became something and they realize if you're caring in a society, you get more food and you live longer. So there is scientific reasons all
right.
of that happens.
But
with
you got
to
go back though. I mean, you know, you got to find out like where we came from, you know, how it started in the beginning. And I don't know, you know, but I think maybe it's been convenient for people to believe there's a higher power or something. But if you noticed, almost everybody, you know, even the lowest of the lowest people in the world, I think once they hit bottom, they look up and they look for something bigger than them. You
yeah.
know?
And what's interesting is like when you study Buddhism, too, it's there isn't a like a theology to Buddhism. It's more of a way of life, like a
right.
philosophy, as opposed to like believing in something. And so it's very different than that. But in Buddhism, they say when you're at your worst is when you learn the most because you have a lot to invest in this.
Exactly.
You're there.
Exactly.
You are there. So she says there's a lot of people. My teacher that goes around, oh, I'm all Buddhist. Ooh. Om, you know, but unless you are in the depths of a depression, you will not know how much you have to invest in saving yourself, and you'll reach for that and you'll absorb
sure.
it. So yeah, I think faith gives an enormous amount of comfort.
Right.
I think faith gives an enormous amount of moral code to
moral
people.
Code, thank
I
you.
I think all of
yes.
that. I don't think you necessarily need that to have it, but I think it aids in it tremendously.
Right.
I don't think that is a mutually exclusive thing where I think you can grow up and have a moral code and still be an atheist. That's perfectly
right.
understandable to me.
Right.
However, faith I think has given people more than it's ever taken away.
Yeah.
However, faith has also caused huge amounts of death, bloodshed, and war.
Right.
So you have these battling, warish feelings against it, and right now we're at an apex of it when you deal with radical Islam and you deal with the jihad, which is in the name of a god.
Right, but can we put all religions on the same level? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
that's what I'm asking. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't, because
okay. You think one is more than the other?
I think one is more well, in many ways, not more. Well, I'm not saying it in an elitist way. I'm right. saying in the way that it treats people that are not in the religion. That's the way I look at how genuine and authentic is a religion, you know? Like, how do you treat the people that are not you?
But then again,
I've never seen Jews killing anybody who's not a Jew.
Well, the Hasidic Jews are very strict with other Jews they don't believe
are
Jews.
But they don't kill. They don't kill. They don't hate them.
Yeah, there is a lot
well,
of...
Well, maybe a few, but that's not what the religion preaches. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, but I'm just saying every religion has their own levels. And when you're at a certain level, you look down or condemn the others for not being at your level.
There are some, but the religion in itself, you have to ask yourself, does its Bible, does its book, whatever... promote this.
Well,
you know?
But then you look at the Old Testament and there's killings all over the place.
Exactly, but it's not Jews going to kill other people because they're not their religion. But yet Christians and Muslims did this, and other religions out there did do this. If you don't convert to our religion, we kill you. Jews don't do that. If Jews ever fought in the Bible, it was to defend themselves, defend their land, to escape, whatever.
But, like, wasn't it true that, like, when they had idols that they weren't supposed to have, they were all, like, they all killed them and wiped them out when they had the golden idols? I mean, I feel like there's a lot of violence.
No, that was not the case at all with the golden calf and stuff, you mean?
Yeah.
No, that was a whole different story. But you know what? We're totally out of time, but let's come back to this, okay?
I'm so interested.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we are out of time. My glass is off. I just think everyone has... I don't like judging religions. That's hard for me to do.
Right, but it's not about judgment. I'm talking about, I want to have not, I mean, look, I'm a very objective person, and I want to believe that everybody believes the same thing, but we don't.
I think that's a good thing.
I can't say that I can compare one religion to another. I don't say one is better.
Right.
I'm just pointing out the differences, and that's all. And I'm proud and glad to be part of the religion I'm in. And that I was born into.
Good. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and I want to continue this.
There you go.
Anyway, folks, stay tuned for Answers for the Family coming up next. We want to thank Pamela Horton for calling in. Fascinating stuff. Tori, thank you.
As always.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.